All right, wonderful. Brother Roger, would you make your way over here? We love Roger and Denise Humphreys. They are one of our ministry elder couples. And it's been a joy to get to know this brother over the last few years. They are such a blessing. Some of you are familiar with them because they have a Koinonia group that meets in their homes on Friday night during our small group semesters. And I've heard so many wonderful reports about God's presence there in the Humphreys home. And Roger and Denise also have come alongside Hillard and Charlotte on our Tuesday evening prayer, running point on that. He also oversees our prophetic community. They get together usually one Sunday afternoon a month. But a man of prayer, a man of the word, he's pastored. He gives strength to me when I am with him. And I'm excited about you sharing with us what's on your heart tonight. Would you join me again welcoming our dear brother Roger Hunt?
Hallelujah. Well, it is good to be here. And this is pretty awesome. Look at it. This is, you know, I've been up here before, but this is a little different stance and, on that one. And we came to Grace House, I think it was in 2021, somewhere along in there. We've been in the area since 2015. And it would have been nice to have come to Grace House sooner, I guess. It's a wonderful place. A wonderful place. God's, it's just amazing to see what God does and is doing anywhere. He is allowed to move, and this body is right off the bat recognized that they have a heart for Father and for the Lord and for the Holy Spirit, and move in quite a bit of anointing upon this congregation. And I believe that anointing is going to only increase in what he's doing. What I have tonight is, Brother Doc and I were had a little conversation Sunday, and it was about being prepared and the sermons and this kind of thing, he asked me, I think, if I was ready, and I said, well, so, you know, getting there. And we had, he said something about a brother that he knew that had four sermons, and that's what we're talking about, preparing the sermons, and being able, and how, you know, you don't want to go too long. But he had four sermons, and he couldn't figure out which one to preach, so he preached all four of them, and he did it all in 12 minutes. Now, if that gave you hope that we're going to have a short night tonight, that may be short-lived. But I'll be honest about that. My wife has just gone to praying, Denise, and she has this signal that she can give me. It's this. That's telling me I've gone too long. You need to stop. And if I miss that, then you'll see her stand up and walk out. She's done that before. And so that's in case I miss the first signal. I don't miss that second one, though, I'm telling you. Anyhow, well, hopefully it won't be like that. Because I'm going to say this. I think I'm going to start here. I do have multiple points tonight. I don't know. The Lord, you know, one of the things I said on this is you spend the time to prep, you know, and you're praying and you're asking the Lord to give you, and things begin to move. You get a direction, and the Lord's moving, and then you get it all put together, and you get into the pulpit behind the sacred desk, and Holy Spirit says, I think we want to go this route. Oh, well, thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. You know, so I've got multiple points up here that he's been talking to me, and hopefully some of this will bless you, but it'll also minister to you, because it's all about him. It's all about what's in his heart for us. And that's my prayer this week has been, Lord, speak to, from your heart and release this to the body and speak to them. Glorify yourself in them. And let's just pray right now. Holy Spirit, I know we've already prayed, but we're going to pray again. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. This house is yours. You've got your Father. You have assigned your angels to here, and they're standing in place, and they're ready to take and minister. They brought these wonderful gifts that you have for us tonight. And Lord, we just pray that would be released, and that you would somehow glorify yourself in what's about to be said through this vessel. And it's in Jesus' name. And when I say that, it's very humbling. Very humbling to be up here. And I had a dream. I've been praying now for since I've known about, you know, this. And I was asked. And I was praying, asking the Lord, okay, Lord, what have you got in your heart? And several things came to mind. And the prayers and thinking along those lines. But Tuesday morning, I'm not sure what time it was, but it was early. I had the sense that I had a dream. God gave me a dream. And when I didn't wake up from the dream like I usually do. When I usually have dreams, I'll usually wake up. But this one I didn't. But in the dream, I woke up. And when I woke up, I began to realize that this dream was for tonight. So I'm going to share some of that dream. I'm not going in great detail, but I'll give you what the discernment by Holy Spirit of what the dream is speaking of. It is to the house here. But there's also been some other things that he's kind of added along that. First of all, this is, you know, it's Christmas time, and it's gift-giving time. And so a lot of us are thinking about the gifts that we're looking forward to for those special someones in our life and how that's going to play out. And we're looking, and some have already been prepared now for a long time. They've already bought gifts and had them all wrapped and ready to go. Some are waiting until the last moment. That would be me, but anyway. But you know, this season is about gift giving, and we can't speak any higher, any more glorious about the gift that God himself gave us through his son, Jesus Christ. Think about this. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son. Sent him so he would give up his place in glory. Jesus would give his place in glory up. And take on flesh like us and come and live among us, and not just live among us, but be us. Be one of us. And that was in God's heart, the Father's heart, to take and give his only begotten Son. And it was in the heart of Jesus to be obedient to the Father and gave himself completely to Father's will, even to the point of death. So the gift, the giving gifts, comes from a place that's in the spirit realm, but it's also made its way here into this realm, into the earthly realm. And so we give these gifts, but let's remember tonight the gift that God gave through Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said, it's expedient that I go so that the next gift that Father has for you comes, the Holy Spirit. And that's where this is kind of talking at this point. The Lord is saying that it's imperative that each of us in the days to come seek Holy Spirit to be filled with the Spirit of God. And if you're here tonight and you haven't received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, now we can say this: if you're here tonight and you've been wondering about whether you should give your heart to the Lord or not, the Holy Spirit is going to work I believe that. But if you're here tonight and you, and I believe most of you are, that you have come to the Lord already, and the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart and you've given your life to Christ, but you haven't been infilled with the Holy Spirit, tonight's the night that you can receive that gift if you want it. It's just for you, just for the taking. It's free, just like salvation is free. It's absolute. The Holy Spirit says he's come. He's ready to come. And what's imperative about it is that it, look, how many of you listen to the news? Okay, do you listen to the mainline news? No. Do you listen to places like Flashpoint and other places? I'm trying to think of them. My mind just went blank. But anyway, there's other means of getting the true news on this. Hey, look, we're in a mess. Would you agree with me on that? That we are absolutely in a mess. And that can put us in places that we don't like being in. When we have, even when the good news is on, I get a little perturbed about some of the things that are happening. And what I mean by that is I have to get up and walk out of the room. And there's an attitude that comes upon me that I have to go out into my little hiding area, my little office workshop, and I have to get out there and I have to calm down to work through it because I become angry. Now, I bring that up because this is where the dream comes in. There was a large body of or group of men that I was with. I recognized some of them, not all of them. Some of them I knew their names, and some that I didn't know their names I knew, but I knew them because I'd been around them. But I didn't know their names. And then there were others that I didn't know. It was a large group. And as the dream opened up, we were moving as a body, as a large group, moving down a narrow hallway. And I realized that we were coming out of one building that had been a fairly good-sized building. It didn't look like Grace House, but in the dream I knew this was Grace House. Okay, so this is for us, the body here at Grace House. And we were coming out of that larger building, and we were moving into in this narrow hallway, moving toward another building that was at the other end of the hall, and it was a fairly long hallway. But it was a much larger building. Now I'm going to say this. When I asked the Lord about that, this is what he said. There's an anointing on Grace House. It's been on, and the Lord has anointed Grace House where it's at now. And it's a good anointing, and it's full of power and glory, and it's all for the Lord, and it's working, and it's good. But there's a greater anointing coming, and we're in transition now. This body of group. Ladies, I'm not trying to exclude women. I didn't see any women in this thing, but you're not excluded in this, okay? This is for the body of Christ here at Grace House. Why I just saw all men, I don't know. I ain't quite got anything on that one yet. But as we were moving through this narrow hallway as a group, I was walking in front, not that I was leading, and it was just where this in the dream, that's where I was at. And we came to this point, and it might be about midway, I don't know. I can't really discern that part. It was somewhere in the hallway. We'd been in, and it was still a little bit further away. So I guess we were about midship, so to speak. And there was a fellow appeared coming from what seemed like it was from the direction where the larger building's at, but he didn't come from the larger building. He just kind of appeared. And he was a little different from the group in his look. And actually, as I pondered it after I did wake up and was asking the Lord, even in the dream, I was recognizing that there was something different about him. And he wasn't like us. And the way I can explain this, he was like, he was Mid-Eastern, Middle East, had that kind of look about him. And young man, by the way, all of us were in our 30s. I like that. Yeah, I'm telling you what, I thought, man, this is great. I should have more dreams like this. Yeah. But I think that speaks to something about, because I knew that this, we were in the spirit realm but on that one, because, you know, you look at this, you recognize this ain't 30 years old, you know what I'm saying? Although I think I'm 17. I won't go there. But anyway, and behave that way. But anyway, this fellow shows up, hallway blocked. We can't go around him. It's that narrow of a hallway, and it's a large group behind us. But he's got this hallway blocked, and I turn. I realize that we're getting a little. Some of the group back here is, and I'm a little put out at this. We can't quite get there. But there's just a sense about he's got no emotion on his face at all, and I want to say this. There's a matter of deception that's at play where we are in our in the way things are here in the States. There's a lot of deception going on, and there's people saying one thing, but they're really meaning something else because they got a hidden agenda, and it's not working. It's not a good thing. This fellow with no emotion on his face, he's just standing there looking at us. And he's not menacing or anything like that. He's just in the way, and he's got no emotion looked on his face. But in the dream, I realized that there's a moment that I recognize, I'm discerning it in the spirit, that he's angry. That on the inside, he's raging. He's not showing anything on his face or in his body language or anything like that, but I discern that he is raging, and he's very angry. And I'm beginning to realize that back here, there's some of the group that was coming with me. They're getting a little agitated because they're recognizing, they're seeing he looks different, and he is standing in the way. We know we're, you know, I keep saying that, but we got to, just trying to set the pace here. And so with the discernment coming, I look at him, at the man, and I say, "You're angry." There's no emotion, no response to that at all. But the group back here, they get a little stirred up. And I'm going, okay. But I keep getting the prompting of the Spirit of God's moving, and I keep hearing, "Say it again, that he's angry. Say it to him. You're angry. Why are you angry? Why are you standing here? Why are you angry?" I just kept asking that. I asked this about three or four times. And it was the third or the fourth time that I asked that, his emotion, his countenance changed. And then the anger began to show. And he moved toward me at that moment. And he took his left hand and he put it against my right cheek like this, because we're standing in the middle of the hallway. And he pushed my face up against the wall that was right here at it. I mean, we're in a narrow hall, like I said that. And he's pushed my face up to that. And he's pushing me so hard that in the dream I see my face actually make an indentation into the wall. And all the time I'm saying to him, "You're angry. You are so angry. I'm seeing that you're angry," and now he's showing it. Everybody behind me is getting a little worked up as well, and they're getting a little vocal about it. And then, all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed in that hallway. And it changed, but this way, my face is still into the wall. And I look at him, and all of a sudden, this is why it's important for us to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, because it's the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is Christ living in us. And the Spirit of Christ, I could feel it in me. He rose, he kind of took over. You know, and he rose up, And all of a sudden, my countenance changed. And I remember, and I could see it in the spirit, I was smiling the purest, heart-loving smile to this gentleman right here. And I said to him, I love you just the way you are. I love you just the way you are. I love you just the way you are. And his hand come off. And he almost didn't quite take a step back, but he took his hand off my face. My face came out of the wall, thank goodness. And he was standing there, and he had this look on his face like he was puzzled. Like, I don't understand. And I did it again. I just said it again. I love you just the way you are. Smiling, and I mean, man, this, I can see it still in my dream. I'm just smiling this smile. And I recognize that this is not me. This is Jesus speaking to him through me, you know. Anyway, and that's not to elevate me up. I'm just saying that's where, if we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ dwells in us because we have the Holy Spirit. That's the only reason, by the way. And we surrender ourselves to that. And he backs up. Then at this point, he's backing up, and he literally moves out of the way. But he's walking away from him, but he still turns back and looks, and it's strange. The guy's dated. You see how when one shows anger and rage, it can take and manifest itself in somebody who is receiving it. But when we don't respond in the way that they want us to respond, he was trying to push me completely into that wall, just make me disappear. And that ought to make me angry. I mean, I should have really been angry. But the Spirit of Christ was there. Now, and so when I actually did wake up from the dream, I'm asking the Lord, I beginning to understand something. Well, and that's where I understood that we were moving, and this was Grace House, and that we're moving from this one location where we have this anointing, but we're going to a greater anointing, the Lord says. Do you hear that? We're going to a greater anointing. What's that going to mean? It means that in this northwest corner of Alabama and in this Tennessee Valley area, the whole region, there's going to be such an impact out of this body because the Lord is anointing this body to take and be Christ to this region. It's not that we're not the only ones. There's others. We prayed for the other groups here. It's happening other places. But this, you know, I just happen to be here, and I mean, God's planted us here, and I love being here. I hope y'all like me being, well, you know what I'm saying. It's not about, brother, I'm just saying it's about lifting Christ up and following his will. And this house is full of the love of Jesus. I'm telling you what, you guys are awesome. See, Jesus he just oozes out of this place. You know, I'm sure there's some, you know, but I'm just saying, for the most part, we're a house full of people who love Jesus, and we let Jesus love through us. And that's a good place to be. That's a good place to be. Meanwhile, these guys back here are still a little upset. And what I do in the dream, my right hand to the guy that's closest to me, and I'd had conversation with him after he was leaving. I said, what's going on? And then I looked at him. I recognized that this anger was back there with the group. And I'm not putting this on anybody. I'm just saying this is a dream. But the Lord's saying something in this, okay? And so I turned to the fellow that's with me, and my hand, instead of pushing him into the wall, my right hand goes up on the back of his neck like this. And my left hand goes upon it would be his left cheek. He was facing me like this. And I look at him and I say, I love you just the way you are. That his countenance changed. And he was, the rage in him was beginning to subside. It was going. And then I went, and he started walking toward the larger anointing. I went to the next guy, did the same thing. The Lord, I'm telling you, I wish y'all could see what I saw, the face that was on me. It's not because it's so pretty. It's not that. It was the love of Christ that was coming out of it. The love of Christ. It was coming out to each one of them. Love you just where you are. I love you just where you are. Just as you are. And what Jesus has said that to us. I love you just how you are. Now, I'm saying all this mess that we're in. In the days to come, hear me, please hear this. Because this is the Lord. I believe this is the Lord on it. I don't know how to stress this any stronger. We diligently must seek to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. I believe Pastor said something along those lines here just recently, that we need to take and be filled and refilled. And it is about a refilling. The refilling is a constant. We don't get full up and just stay full. No, it comes out of us. But we get refilled. And it's a daily thing to stay full of the Holy Spirit and allow Jesus to live in us, to minister through us, in us, and out of us, to be vessels of honor that lift him up and find ways to love people who are not like us, who may be in raging and even extending that rage, their rage in them with us, or lying to us. And we know that they're lying because we've discerned it in the Spirit. We're going, I want to do something about this. Well, what we need to do about that is what the Lord leads us to do. By the way, this thing, I'm getting over to where the part about where anger is at, because there are some scriptures. I began to look up some things. In Psalms 4:4, if you got your Bibles turned there and just look, it's just one verse. I can read it. It's right here. But it reads like this: in your anger, do not sin. Sounds kind of familiar, don't it? From over the New Testament. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Selah. Think about it. Over in Ephesians, the ones that we're most familiar with, in chapter 4, verse 26, it reads there, in your anger, do not sin. You see, it's okay to be angry. It's a human emotion. It's something that every one of us get angry. But don't sin with it. That's what the Lord's saying. I'm not saying in here, saying it all. You know, if I've got one out, I've got more pointed back toward this one, you know. If you feel like I'm pointing fingers, that's not what this is about. It's about waking, what's the Lord saying? And if I'm asking, Lord, what is it for the body of Christ here that you want to say through me, you know, and this dream comes and this is being revealed, then there's an issue that he's recognized in us that's going to block us from getting from the place that we are, which is a good place, and the anointing's sweet, and it's not going to go away as long as we stay where we are. But God's got something bigger for us. More influence into the region for his glory and for the kingdom. By the way, this anointing, he named it this way. It's the kingdom come, my will be done anointing. It's what it is. His kingdom. But he says, my kingdom come, my will be done. As Jesus prayed, he said, Lord, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I want to put it that way. And that's what we're moving toward. We're moving toward, if I see this right, and I believe I do, I have seen in a vision, I saw thousands upon thousands of white-robed individuals, men and women, of all ages, coming down the river from up the dam, coming down on the river, just walking on water. Okay, but they're... And I said, who are these people? And the Lord basically said, these are people who are coming in out of the revival that's coming. These are new recruits. These are new recruits. Not recruits. Converts. That's the better word. Thinking the military term. We're going to recruit. And so I've seen that happen. That was several years ago. And I believe that the prayers that we're praying for the other churches here, for the brothers and sisters in their other locations, that God's moving in them. We're praying that God continue to move that way. And so there is a revival coming. I think it's already here. Is this making any sense at all? Okay. Okay, good. By the way, every one of those that was in the dream began to move because the love of Christ changed them. We have been changed. That gift is amazing. Holy Spirit, just have your way in us tonight. Have your way in us tonight. My, my, my. When I was reading that scripture in Psalms, there in Psalms 4 and 5, it reads this way, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still, Selah." Verse 5, "Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in God." This house, you folks, are the most God-trusting people I think I've ever been around. I've been around a few, but it's a pretty awesome place. And the more that we trust Him, the more that we step into the sacrifice of righteousness, which means, all right, I recognize that this may be making me angry. The situation I'm talking about is in the country today. We got a lot of people lying to us. We got a lot of people that's got a motive to take things that we see as precious and know that, and not only that, but to rob this nation of the place that it needs to be for the glory of God, because God raised this nation up when He did, how He did, and He has anointed this nation to be a lighthouse to the other nations. That's part of what America is all for. I'm saying this, believing it, and I know you do too, but there is a move afoot. Like this young fellow that in the dream he represents is a deceit and a deception that's coming and trying to take and come into this nation. And listen, we have been, this is not about fear and this is not about stirring up anger, but we have got to get control of this and not let it infiltrate us and rob us of the Spirit of Christ that's in us and block the Holy Spirit from moving in and through us. The revival depends, the revival that's coming. Those people that I saw coming down that river representing those that were coming to Christ by the thousands. And that was a small picture. There's been other, you know, we're already praying for the million soul harvest from that. And we're seeing things happening in some of the universities and all this. And these are good things that we're seeing. We want to see more of it. We want to see this nation set back on again, the ship turned right and made it back on course for what God had determined for this nation to be. And some of that falls on us to recognize that the enemy is trying to stir some things. He's trying to rob some things out of us. And one of the things he's trying to rob us is to take and miss the fullness of the Spirit of God and moving into those places of anointing that he wants all the body of Christ to move into. It's not just about Grace House. It's just that some reason he chose me to give the dream. And maybe, hey, listen, you know what? I'm probably not the only one that had that dream Tuesday morning. I bet you if we could do a kind of a canvassing thing, we'd probably find some people in the neighborhood right around us here and some other churches that somebody in their church had the same dream and sharing it. On the same time, I don't know. God can do whatever he wants to do. Okay. Well, that said, if you're here tonight, and this is what the other thing the Lord said. Oh, by the way, when I was reading that one in verse 4, he gave me a vision this afternoon. I saw Jesus all giddy. He was just laughing. He was all smiley. And he was excited about this. Gifts. I want to read something to you. I read this a few days ago. This is out of the This is out of an old book. This thing was copyrighted in 1927 through the Concordia Publishing House in St. Louis, Missouri. And it's a Lutheran prayer book. Anyway, they got numbers on them, and I've been doing this now for a while. The day of the year, I look it up in here, and I say, so I knew the 17th was when I was going to preach and speak, and so I looked up the number 352, which is today is the 352nd day of the year. And I hope that's right. I hope my calendar is right. But anyway, that's the one I looked up. And this is how it reads. By the way, this is a song. This is a variation of a song that was written by Frances Ridley Havergal. She was born somewhere in England in 1832 or 37, somewhere along in there. And it was 1800s. And this is the song that she wrote. This, I believe, is probably the second song that she actually wrote. She wrote a bunch of them. Thy life was given for me. Now, this is Christ. She writes this as Christ speaking to us. And this about his life, Jesus' life. She says, thy life was given for me. Thy blood, O Lord, was shed, that I might ransomed be and quickened from the dead. Thy life was given for me. What have I given for thee? Verse 5. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. It goes on. And thy Father's home of light, thy rainbow circled throne, were left for earthly night, for wondering sad, have I left aught for thee? That's someone asking. Jesus, you gave everything for me. What have I given to you? Ask him that tonight. Recognize the gift that he gave you on the cross. His blood he shed to redeem us, to wash us clean. His spirit, he dies. He's buried. The only begotten Son of God. And the evidence of what God was going to do was stamped when Jesus rose from the grave and stepped back out and spent a little bit of time on earth before he ascended into heaven to take his seat at the right hand of the Father, where he is there now interceding for us and watching for the gifts. But I'm telling you, he was giddy. He said, this is wonderful. Because he looked at the cross and he counted the joy. He saw the gifts that were coming to him. Us, the redeemed, the ones who sacrificed. It says right here, offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in him. And so he saw these gifts. I'm telling you, he's excited. He was excited then. He's excited now. He wants us to step into the fullness of who he is. He wants us to trust us. He wants us to trust him completely. And you're doing a really good job of it. But we can do more. You see, to be angry, sometimes we angry and we lash out. We got to say this. But anger, when it works right, it's a motivator to bring about change. Jesus got angry one time. Remember, he went into down and you know, he got a little ticked off of what they were doing in Father's house. Made a whip. Went in there and he turned tables over and he said, "Why you turned the Father's house, it was a house of prayer, you've turned it into a den of thieves." And he chased everybody out. Now he was angry, but he sinned not. We know that. I'm saying this. There's things that we can do and let this anger direct us to step into what we can do. You can begin to search out who's running for offices locally and make sure whoever's going to be in that office is somebody that you want to see that's trusting the Lord. You can do that locally, but you in the local battles, you know, with the city council, all of these things. It's one of the ways that we can take and see and bring about changes, but we got to vote. We got the midterms elections coming up next year. it's just a few months off. And it was so, and we're all getting kind of weary with all the politics things. But the Lord says, don't be consumed with rage and just sit in mully grub and don't do anything. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and step into that anger and let it drive you, the anger, in a good way. So it's okay to be angry in a good way, but it's not okay to be angry in sin. Sin is when you don't do anything, when you know to do something right. Okay? All right, that said, if you're having issues with anger tonight and you want to be set free, if you're here tonight and you need Jesus, I'm asking you that you can come on and just step out right now, and we'll pray for you, and absolutely, you'll be set free. I can't say it any plainer than that. And maybe my stance is a little put off. I don't mean to be putting anybody off. But if you got some kind of an issue with anger tonight, you don't have to raise a hand. We're not going to put you on the spot. But let the Lord minister to you tonight. Because he's looking at you, he's looking at each one of us right now with that lovely, lovely, pure heart love face. I'm telling you, it's amazing to see his face that way. And he's looking right at us, and he's saying, I love you just the way you are. I love you just the way you are. Come, come, come. So don't hesitate. Oh, you guys are awesome. Snuck up. Did y'all see them coming? I guess y'all did, didn't you? It's kind of hard to miss them. Anyway, I'm done with that. But let me say this. Don't miss an opportunity to be loved by Jesus. And to be ministered to him, by him, with that love. If you are here tonight and you've had some issues with, or maybe you know someone that has, let's pray for them. So Father God, we come, Lord, we're just, you know us. You know our heart. You know every one of us. You know our hearts. You know everything that's in us. You know our attitudes. You know where we are currently. You know where we're going to be tomorrow. And you know how ticked off we can get. But help us to walk this thing out, because we want to be over in the larger anointing. We want to be over in that place that you have set for us, and you want us to move there, Father. You want us to dwell in there because you've got other places for us, other anointings come and gone. But we want that your kingdom come, your will be done, anointing to be upon us. And I pray that anointing upon this congregation, Father God, that, Father, that it not just stay where it's at, but it grows and grows and grows and grows, and you get all the glory, that you get all the glory, Jesus, that you be lifted up in everything that we say and in everything that we do. And let our life, Lord, may we just give ourselves absolutely again, fresh and anew, wholeheartedly, wholeheartedly. But I tell you what, won't you stand with me? And put your hand right there on your heart. Father, we're doing this. We're saying, here we are. We recognize that you love us just the way we are right now. And that everything that you have for us is good. And we're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in this nation, in our lives, in our homes, in our families. Father, in our cities, in the hamlets, Father, in the states, and in the regions of this nation, Father, and even in the bordering countries, Lord, there's just other nations, Lord. Come have your inheritance in us. Come, righteous Spirit of God, and cover us with the blood of Christ again, fresh and new. Each one of us, we yield ourselves. Father, take in any of this deception that has brought this lie of anger in us. Break it in Jesus' name, that we may be free and live out righteous in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brother Roger. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to be up here. I want to share just a moment about how this message spoke to my heart, and I want to thank you for it, brother. The dream that Elder Roger had about the large group of people. He's an elder in this church, one of our ministry elders, so he was leading, so he's a leader in this place. So it really spoke to me as a leader, because probably there's not a person in the room that you don't have occasions when the enemy's trying to use someone to provoke you. And they may have an appearance that they don't care. They're just numb to what you may feel, you may believe. And sometimes we believers can be guilty of sending wrong signals. In other words, we'll love you if you'll be like us. If you'll act like I act, I'll love you. If you'll believe what I believe, I'll love you. But what I heard in this message was a challenge to just love. Like God loved you and me before we were saved and still does after we're saved and always will because He's love. So it challenged me not to be provoked wrongly by people who are not like me or don't believe what I believe. And all of us have struggled with this anger that He's described and stuff going on around us, but can we be people who actually are good examples, who lead well, so that the people following us, they're surprised that we're not behaving like the world. We all know how that works. But can we be an example that can impart that love to others and pass it on? So a really challenging dream. And I love the way God can speak to us in the night season, in picture form, in image form, because when you're dreaming, you experience emotions and you're able to go places without going places and experience. But that was a strong message, and the Lord gave it to him because we needed it here tonight. So let's lead well, leaders. And all of us are leaders in some measures, parents or with our friends and so forth. And let's love well. Let's love well. And when we're provoked, let's respond in Christ-like ways. So I decree and declare over you as well. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now think of that this way. The Christ in you, that's the way other people can be confronted with the glory of God and the hope that only He can be. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What you carry can be used to change the life of other people. But if we behave just like they behave, and we're provoked, and we're enraged, and we become angry, and we stomp and curse just like they stomp and curse, they're not seeing anything different. But when they're met with the love of God and challenged by the love of God, even when they're forcefully trying to push you away from the future God has for you, because that's the warfare for us, is to get distracted by all this provocation. And that dream was like, God's got a better future for us. Got something better waiting on us, and we can't allow the disruptions to cause us to join the wrong crowd. I'm preaching this sermon, I'm sorry. But that's how I was challenged by that. And so let's think on these things. We have people here to pray with you. Thank you again, brother. Give him just thank the Lord for this message one more time. And this man right here, our granddaddy pastor, Sunday morning, he's going to be sharing the bread of life here about the first Christmas. Sunday, at the end of the service, I felt led by the Lord that our granddaddy pastor needed to preach the message before Christmas. So I know he's got something good that we're going to be fed here on Sunday as well. Love you all. Thanks for being here tonight. Give it up for Jesus one more time. This altar's open. If you need prayer, come on up in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful evening. Don't forget what Mickey told you about the commentary of the gift stuff.